Back to school time means many parents of college-aged children face for the first time an empty nest. Have you been there, done that? Are you facing the empty nest for the first time this fall? We hope you will join us this hour with your questions and your experiences as we talk about coping with an empty nest. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 27th. So what do you plan to do with your time now that the children are out of the house? Are you worried? Are you sad? Maybe proud, excited about a new life? All of the above? Who's making plans to turn your child's bedroom into a home office? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Tell us what it's like facing an empty nest for the first time or how you coped with your empty nest. Our guest is Amy Goyer, AARP's family and caregiving expert, author of a couple of books, including Juggling Work and Caregiving and Things to Do Now That You're a Grandparent. She also wrote a piece for AARP that we have posted on our Facebook page, Empty Nests Filled with Opportunities, How to Deal with Grief, Free Time, and Your New Life Without Your Child. Good morning.
Good morning. It's happy to joining you.
Yeah, it's good
and early today.
Thank you for joining us so early. Today happens to be move-in day, the first of two move-in days for students who are going to be staying at the dorms at UW-Madison, and school starts on Monday. So there's going to be a lot of parents helping their kids get settled in, and when they go back, they're going to have an empty house. Is that the definition of an empty nest, just the empty house without the kids?
Yes, it's that time. It's really sort of a life stage at this point where, you know, parents have been focused on their children and suddenly they're out of the house, whether they're going off to college or going off to a job or some other experience. The parents are, whether they're a single parent or have a life partner, they're going to be experiencing some change because it really is an empty nest at that point.
Yeah, and I've also heard the phrase empty nest syndrome. Did we just make that up, or is there a syndrome?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Empty nest syndrome is not actually a clinical condition. It's really more of a phenomenon. So it really is just that stage of life and the feeling of grief and loneliness that parents or other guardians may feel when the children do leave home for the first time and, you know, they're sort of living on their own. You know, you worry about your kids, you may feel sad and lonely. The tricky thing to pay attention to is, you know, there are a lot of normal feelings. Of course you're going to feel a sense of loss and some sadness of missing your kids, but are you spilling over into a point where you're heading into depression or having some emotional issues, and then you maybe need to get some help?
Yeah. And I would think that those would be very common feelings. But I also would think that after so many years of teaching and guiding our children, it must be hard to feel that, well, I guess, you know that you feel like you no longer have influence in their lives, or you feel you no longer can have any authority over them. How predominant is that feeling among empty nesters?
I think it's a really common feeling. You know, there's a sense of loss, and the loss is of having that, you know, the company. You know, one parent said recently to me that, you know, he's kind of my best friend. I miss my son. He's a good kid to be around. I actually miss my buddy. But at the same time, others feel that sense of loss of their own role. What's my role now? What's my identity? If my role isn't to be, you know, guiding this child and having disciplining and doing all of those things, it's kind of an identity crisis, and not having that authority, same kind of authority and influence. I think parents need to remember that while that relationship has changed, you're still their parent, and you're going to be their parent as long as you live. And there's going to be different types of influence that you have, but it is a change.
Yeah. What about, I'm not a parent, so I haven't dealt with the empty nest. I've always had an empty nest, except for a bunch of cats and dogs.
I'm with you.
But I'm thinking though that I know some parents who have they felt that worry and that sadness, but they also were kind of excited. Hey, I've got some more time now, and it's all sorts of exciting opportunities lie ahead. I mean, there's also some happiness and excitement, isn't there?
Absolutely. And I think some parents are surprised at how sad they feel, and some parents are surprised at how good they feel, or how quickly the bad feelings dissipate, you know, the sadness and everything dissipate. It's a huge opportunity in life, and it's something that many parents look forward to. Oh, I can't wait till I have more time to myself, or I can do this hobby, or we have time for our relationship. And that, you know, that really is the opportunity of it. That's the positive of it. You know, I think the thing to remember is it can kind of be a confusing time, and you may have both these emotions. You may be excited and sad, and you may kind of fluctuate back and forth, and you may start to get into a new habits and a new role and doing new things in your life, and then you get a call from your child and they're struggling, they're having a tough time, and then you go back into the sadness and trying to struggle with what your role is.
I was kind of teasing when I said, who's making plans to remodel your child's bedroom? But that is a consideration, and you point out on your piece on coping with the empty nest to make sure you talk to your child about that before you do that.
Yes, you know, that's one of the most common things is you think, okay, what am I going to do with this extra space in my home? You know, what are we going to do? And I think it's really important to be sensitive. A lot of kids are nervous. They're going, especially if they're going off to college and they're going to be home on breaks. You anticipate them coming back. You know, you really might want to use that space and create a home office or a workout room or a sewing room or a crafting room or whatever it is. And they may be fine with that, but some children come home over the summer and they still need some space. You know, you might work out a compromise. Maybe you put in a sofa bed in your new repurposed room. But, you know, be sensitive to the fact that a child may be feeling like, gee, Mom and Dad are kind of glad to get me out of the house. They've already changed my room over. So, you know, just think about that, you know, and I hate to point this out, but there's a lot of empty nesters whose nests are refeathered. A lot of kids, boomerang kids, they call them these days, are coming back home. So just keep in mind, you never know.
Yeah, actually, one of our listeners posted on this hour's posting that, sadly, he says, there's really no such thing as an empty nest, meaning, I think, the boomerang children.
Yes, it's really an interesting phenomenon now. We've got an actual life stage, another similar kind of a phenomenon stage that's called emerging adulthood. A psychologist named Jeffrey Arnett has kind of coined this term, and it's really an interesting point that one in five people in their 20s and 30s are currently still living with their parents. And 60% of young adults receive financial support from them. So your role as a parent may not be done as much as you think it might be.
We are talking with Amy Goyer. She is AARP's family and caregiving expert about how to cope with an empty nest. Now that school is starting, college is starting next week, many parents of college-age kids will face, maybe for the first time, an empty nest, and we wonder if you are one of them. How's it affecting you? What do you plan to do with your time now that your children are out of the house? Maybe you've gone through empty nesting in the past and have a tip or a strategy to share as well. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the empty nest. Hopefully sharing some experiences and advice on coping with an empty nest this hour as college is about to start and many parents with college-aged children are facing an empty nest. Let us know your questions, maybe your coping strategies at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. If you've gone through this, let us know what it was like. What was it like for you? Were you sad? Did it change your relationship with your child? Were you excited? Did you take advantage of more time? And did you start some new activities? Let's go to the phones and take our first caller, Bob in River Falls. Hello, Bob.
Good morning. It's funny, the AARP site and everything, and we were older when we had our kids, and we're both AARP members, my wife and I, and we read the magazines and so forth. And this is interesting because, number one, my eldest boy, last week, we live on the border, so we live in Twin Cities metro area. Mm-hmm. We're more part of Minnesota than Wisconsin that way.
That's okay.
My wife works in Minneapolis, and anyways, my eldest finished college at UW-River Falls, and now he's going. We took him to the airport last week, and he's gone for 2 years. He's going to graduate school in Germany.
Oh my goodness!
And that was quite a thing for him to go. It's the first time he's ever going to be totally gone. He did a semester abroad through the UW system, which is a great program, and that got him wanting to do that. Now his younger brother, who just completed his sophomore year at UW-Milwaukee, majoring in German and European history, we're taking him this afternoon to the airport, and he's going to be gone for the next year, also in Germany, to spend his junior year.
Oh, my goodness.
And so this is going to be quite a radical shock for us, because not only will they both be leaving the house, but they're going to be out of the country.
Yeah.
For one year and one for two. But the neat thing is they're only going to be 20 minutes apart. So they can get on a train and they can go see each other and they can spend time together and they can travel around together. And my youngest son, I took him over to Germany on a trip when he was in middle school, so he's been there before. So both of them have traveled there a bit. And my main feeling is excitement for them, but also relief, because so many things have been happening in Wisconsin, particularly where kids, bad things happen to kids. We've got a tale of two states. Like Minnesota, there is a thriving economy. It's optimistic. It's what Wisconsin used to be like. Minnesota's that way, but Wisconsin's the opposite. And it's like there's this huge tension, and you feel like, I want them out of here. I don't want any bad things to happen to them, and I know they'll be safe over there because people don't have guns and all this crazy stuff isn't going on, so it feels better for us. The second thing I was going to mention is now I'm going to have to start thinking about health, because I've got a few health problems. I want to kind of stay around for a few more years to make sure they're established and everything, so I don't die before they're, in their life and moving along. So I got to start thinking about health issues and trying to take care of myself better. And it's kind of funny. So now I'm shifting to that. So it's, by the way, the roofs are going to remain shrines until they've established wherever they're going to live.
Did you say they're going to remain shrines?
Yes. They stay the same. And I don't want to get in there and do all that anyways. So
I can imagine the excitement and the happiness that they're, in Germany learning and close to each other so they can still be together. But that is different. Let me get a comment from Amy here. This isn't just, your child is at a university in your state, probably coming home, maybe even on weekends and for holidays. This is overseas in another country. That's got to be a little bit more of a shock.
That's very true, and that sense of not being able to be constantly in touch with them. The good news for you and many parents is technology has changed the empty nest, because you can now continuously be in charge, even in across the ocean, even in Europe, you can be in constant contact with them through technology. You're going to have time change issues and that, but you can Skype, you can even text and use, WhatsApp, and some of the great apps that you can use are free texting overseas. So that's the good news, that you can still be in touch. But it is a huge change, and they're far away. I love that you say you're going to take some time to focus on your own health and well-being. I think that's one of the most important tips I have for parents who are empty nesters is, okay, listen, it's time to focus on you now. And you're right. You want to be there for your kids as the rest of their lives, because they've got a lot of good stuff ahead of them, and you do too. So taking that time to assess your own health, keep growing, start some new things, maybe take an exercise class, work out with a trainer, go, you know, really focus on your nutrition and what you're eating, because you don't have kids in the home or who may be really eating a lot of junk food, because they can do that and not gain weight, you know. So good for you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Bob, for the call. And good for you. Congratulations, and best wishes to your sons in Germany.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exciting. Well, you know, I know another tip you have is to talk with other empty nesters. That is something that would be helpful to do. And you have, there are different sources, including AARP. Does it still have an online parenting group?
Yeah, AARP has an online community with all sorts of groups. People, you can, you know, it's a 24/7 resource, essentially, so you can go on there anytime and look at what people have posted and look at different resources. So go to AARP.org and go into the online community, and you can connect with some other empty nesters and find out how they're coping and get ideas. And just, you know, it's always nice, no matter what your life issue is, to connect with someone else who's going through something similar, because no one quite understands like they do. And I think it's a really good thing to reach out. There are also, you know, through counseling, if you really do start to have some worries about, you know, I'm kind of diving here and I'm not bouncing back, and you may go see a professional counselor, but they may also have some other local groups that you can connect with to talk with other parents.
Ray in Merrill is with us. Hello, Ray.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I usually like to call and talk about current events and politics, but since this is an area I've got some background in, I thought I'd give it a call.
I'm glad you did.
Our kids are all grown now, and now they've got their careers. They've all moved away, and, well, we were pretty close-knit family. We did a lot of things together, so it really was empty nest. It was an empty feeling having all the kids gone. But what we did, we bought ourselves a couple of good bikes, and we took up some bicycling. And the kids' college didn't have us broke, so we bought a little Winnebago, and we do a little RVing. And then we got ourselves a couple years ago a little dachshund puppy. they're aloof and defiant like kids, and yet so affectionate. So it really filled a void there. And well, then we got a trailer, and we put that in the back. He goes biking with us, and it's filled a void. It really has helped. But the biking does too. It feels great to get out there and see things and hear things you don't hear in the car, and it's been an adjustment, but and we still miss the kids, but it's helped fill the void. But I'm really glad for Bob, the guy that called, to his kids getting a chance to get overseas and see another part of the world, and so it's all good. Congratulations, Bob.
Yeah, Ray. Well, congratulations to you too. It sounds like Ray and his wife handled this wonderfully, and did all this. They took advantage of, the opportunities in their new life.
Exactly. Yay, Ray. It's really you're a great example of grabbing the opportunity, saying, okay, wow, there is a sense of emptiness, there is a change, and we have a time on our hands. Eventually, you may have more financial resources on your hands, and try some new things. I think continuing to grow is one of the most important things during this time, because, you know, you've focused so much on being a parent and growing in that way. Okay, so now let's grow in some other areas of our life, and getting out, being active, traveling. A lot of parents, you know, really like to take advantage of some time to try some new travels, and I love your dog, because that's one of the things that really can be helpful to you are kind of filling a void, and it's never going to be a substitute for your children, but there are other things that can sort of fill that hole in your life and your role. You know, I love how he said that the dachshund kind of is like the child, aloof but also affectionate. And you know, that's one of the things that pets can do. We all have a need to continue that loving kind of role in our lives.
Yeah. Ray, are you still there?
You bet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, what's your wiener dog's name?
His name is LD. Actually, it's LLD for a Mark Twain little skit where a guy had a long, low dog. I thought a dachshund would fit that perfectly.
I love it.
Our best to you. Thank you so much for joining us. That's wonderful. Well, you know, we're going to... I don't know if we have time for another call before news, but we'll get to more of your calls after our newscast. We'll talk more with our guest about other coping strategies. I think when we come back, I was going to talk with Amy Goyer, who wrote a piece for AARP that we have posted on our Facebook page on empty nesting. Empty nests filled with opportunities, and we will we'll talk about one of the tips on that list in terms of your relationship with your spouse and how to reestablish yourselves as a twosome without the kids in the house. Maybe we'll start along those lines. Sounds like Ray and his wife got the RV, got the bikes, got the dog, and are doing lots of things together. What else can we do to cope with an empty nest? And how is the empty nest, if you have one, affecting you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. School starts next week, and for some parents of college-aged kids, they will face an empty nest for the first time. We are talking about what that is like and sharing experiences and getting some advice on coping with the empty nest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, coming up now on 6:37 on this Wednesday, August 27th. Our guest is AARP's family and caregiving expert. She has written about dealing with the grief, the sadness, the worry, the excitement, the opportunities that accompany an empty nest. Let us know your questions, maybe your coping strategies, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we have posted on Facebook our guest's a piece that she wrote for AARP, Empty Nests Filled with Opportunities, How to Deal with the Grief, Free Time, and Your New Life Without Your Child. Amy Goyer is also the author of a couple of books, Juggling Work and Caregiving, and Things to Do Now That You're a Grandparent. And I promised just before our news break that we would come back, Amy, and talk a little bit about how the empty nest affects our relationship, whether we're presumably with our spouse or with our significant other. And you say that this is a time to sort of renew and refocus on that relationship.
Right. It can be challenging because when you think about it, many parents have really focused their attentions on the child for so long, and they are, you know, partners in raising the children. But how much time have they spent, you know, looking at relating to each other? Mm-hmm. And so when the child is missing from the equation, sometimes it's sort of a rude awakening of, oh, my gosh, do I even know this person? How do I relate to this person? And who are we as a couple? So I think it's really an opportunity then to re-energize that romantic relationship and to reestablish yourself as a twosome and find ways to build your own relationship while keeping in touch with your child, but, you know, realizing, you know, gosh, we have the rest of our lives together.
Right. So what tips do you have for parents who now want to forge that new relationship or focus on themselves as a twosome?
Well, I think our caller, Ray, was a great example because one of the things I suggest is that you make a list of activities that you and your spouse or partner can be doing together that you both like to do and schedule time for that. You may both have things that you want to start, new hobbies, but Ray and his wife found something in common in biking. So make a list of things like that, whether it's gardening, biking, cooking, traveling, you know, doing something creative, art, music, whatever your items are, make a list of those and really start focusing some time and planning some time for those things. Enjoy the time together and make, it's not just having the extra time now that your nest is empty, it's what you do with it. So, you know, schedule some dates. Actually think about how your relationship started. What did you like about the person then? And acknowledge those things. And what are the new things in that person that as they've grown over the years, you know, and talk about the future. I think this is a time when parents take a big deep breath and say, okay, we've accomplished this. What have we got ahead of us? What do we want to do with the rest of our lives? You know, parents said to me the other day, she said, now I have to figure out what I want to do when I grow up.
Right, right. Well, we'll talk about forging a new relationship with our children now that they're out of the house in just a moment. And we will take more of your questions and would love to hear more of your experiences, too. Are you facing an empty nest for the first time? Tell us how it's affecting you. Or have you been there, done that, and have some advice that you'd like to share, some coping strategies that you developed? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Paul in Middleton is with us next. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you both. I really don't understand all this angst about being an empty nester. I've been a single parent, more or less, since I've been divorced for 12 years. I've got three kids. One is a fellow down in Washington, D.C. The other one's a college student up in the Twin Cities. And I've got one left at home, and I've got 1 year to go. And I'm champing at the bit to engage in just all sorts of hedonistic activity. It's wine, women, and song for me. And I'm putting the house up for sale and not leaving a forwarding address.
They're on their own.
March or die. March or die.
So truly, Paul, you are excited. You're just thrilled at the prospect.
I am. I mean, I've like they say in the Army, I've done my time in hell, and I'm a free man, and I have all this, you know, I haven't done any dating because, you know, I've put all my activity, you know, support to my kids through the divorce and everything else, and right now, it's like, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, just, you don't even have to boot me out of the plane to jump with my parachute, I'll be flying with it out the plane.
All right, well, let's, Amy, so how about celebrating?
Well, I think it's absolutely fabulous that you have this approach, and a lot of parents really are excited about this for a long time. I just want to warn you, you may be surprised, you may have a little bit harder time with the transition than you think you're going to, but I think it's great to go into it this way, and that's one of my most important tips is that you plan ahead. Sounds like you've got some good plans going on, and, you know, be thinking about exactly how you are going to fill your time. But, you know, it's something to celebrate. You know, there's an author named Ellen Goodman, and I love what she said. She said, is there any other job that defines success as becoming unnecessary?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, your children have ventured out of the nest. This is a good thing. You've gotten them for school. You've done what you need to do. So it's great to celebrate and relish that time.
Yep. Congratulations, Paul, and enjoy. But I'm assuming that you're not cutting all ties, and you still are going to have a relationship with your children. And I promised we'd talk about that, Amy. So how is that relationship going to change with our children?
You know, most parents do say that their relationship with their adult child improves when the child moves out. It's interesting. And even though you spend less quantity of time with them, the time you do spend together may be more quality, more focused. You may be actually communicating about things more. And your relationship may become less about logistics and more about, you know, value and what, you know, talking about what's going on in our lives and how we feel about things. So remember that your job now has changed. Your job is to give your child autonomy and respect and encouragement, and it's not really to tell them what to do anymore. And, you know, if you've got a child going off to college, you know, there's some transition years here, and and this sort of emerging adulthood phase means that you're still going to have a, probably a pretty strong role in advising your child. But nevertheless, they are moving into adult years, so you need to be able to have a different kind of relationship with them.
Yeah. You know, I think, I don't know, this is just my perception, I guess, and I think you mentioned it in our first half hour that with technology, things have changed from when I first went off to college. I barely called my parents. You'd have to collect from the payphone at the dorm in order to, you know, even talk to your parents. And so that was a rare treat. Now I think kids keep in contact with their parents probably daily. What do you think?
Absolutely. There's just a very recent research found that today's empty nesters are much more confident. They're tech savvy and they're very connected online. You know, almost 90% of empty nesters over the age of 45 are on Facebook now, and even 60% go on Twitter. So 72% have smartphones, so you can absolutely be texting and tweeting and listening and following your kids on Facebook if they will allow you to be their Facebook friend. But, you know, it's really different. So it may be that relationship continues more than you think. Don't expect it to be quite as much as when they were living at home, but you can probably expect that it's much easier to be in touch and to be encouraging to them when they have big things going on for them and whatever their next life phase is, whether it's college or a job or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm also just thinking that I love my parents very much, but I didn't, I just wasn't in contact with them all the time. I didn't call them for advice all the time. I didn't go home every weekend, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with kids today doing that. I think they have, it's a different relationship, it seems, a closer relationship than maybe the baby boomers had with their parents.
It may be. You know, I'm the youngest of four, mm-hmm. and my dad was a college professor. I went to college at the university where my dad taught. So my parents lived right there in town. But even so, I lived on campus. Mm-hmm. Certainly met my dad at his office now and then for lunch and things like that, went home on weekends now and then, but certainly not all the time. So I think there's an expectation of not being constantly in touch.
Right.
Now with texting, I think that, you know, so many teenagers, that's the only way you can communicate with them, so you get used to it. And many parents, there is more of an expectation of having some kind of a connection ongoing.
Well, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll take more of your calls on what it's like to be an empty nester, questions you might have about coping with an empty nest for the first time. We are talking about the empty nest now that school is almost underway. Today happens to be move-in day for the students who live in the dorms at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, probably other UW campuses as well. Classes start the day after Labor Day, and there are parents who will be helping their kids get settled in, and then will drive home and find an empty nest when they get back home. We're talking about what that's like and how to make the most out of it. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Amy Goyer, who is AARP's family and caregiving expert. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about coping with an empty nest with Amy Goyer from AARP, and we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming any advice you might have. And our next caller is Linda in West Allis. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Joy.
Yes, what are you, an empty nester?
Well, we have been, and now we're not. Our 22-year-old is living in the home again, and planning on getting an apartment, but I laughed because last month in July she was looking at apartments. She hasn't been looking, only online, but hasn't been out there looking yet for this month because she said September. But, you know, do we want to push them out of the nest? Well, this is the one that's been gone and come back twice, so maybe she needs to stick around a little longer.
Oh.
But I wanted to comment that my husband and I, like a lot of parents, you know, really focus on our two daughters. And when they got to be teenagers, we decided that we'd start going out for breakfast on Saturday morning and leaving them alone and having that two time, you know, two together time. And then I said, how about we go grocery shopping too? And then I don't have to do that by myself. So mm-hmm. you know, we kind of pre-empty nesting planning.
Yeah, so getting out as a twosome before the nest was empty, Amy.
Absolutely. I think that's really good. Again, that's part of that planning ahead and transitioning the time. You know, when your kids are teenagers, they tend to want to be more autonomous. They're kind of learning how to do that. And so many, many parents do kind of naturally fall into that. At the same time, kids can be very busy and need a lot of driving around and that sort of thing to take up your time. But I think you did a great job of testing that out and focusing on each other and forging kind of a new way of relating with each other. And, you know, I feel for you with the refeathered nest. And as you say, she may be coming back and forth more than once. The upside is you could charge her rent and she could just pay you rent instead of paying for an apartment and help you find it.
Well, there we go.
Well, she got her first, she calls it the big girl job. She just got employed in February with her first job that she has benefits and, you know, making more money than she has in the past and all of that. So, yeah, she's been paying towards some of her bills, you know, insurance and, you know, car insurance and cell phone usage, things like that, because she has a job. But, she just hasn't found that apartment yet. And I just asked my husband this morning if they had discussed that recently, because the funny part for us is that both of our daughters talk to us, but they don't. They assume that my husband and I always communicate that information to one another.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always happen. So he told me this morning, no, she hasn't talked about apartments to him either. So I love that refeathering the nest. I will use that. I like that a lot. So.
Well, Linda, Okay. Good luck to you and your daughter. It sounds like at least that's a positive step that she got her big girl job.
Right, and keep re-energizing your own relationship with your husband.
Yeah, and maybe talk just a little bit more if you can. I mean, should parents consider pushing the baby out of the nest if they've come back a couple of times?
You know, it's such an interesting dilemma, and every family is unique. Parents have different parenting styles, and every situation is, in fact, unique. So, you know, you can't tell anyone what to do in that situation, but I think that it is important to think about boundaries. And if a child is coming back home, you need to be looking at your own finances and planning for your retirement and your future and the things that you want to do. And you also want to encourage them to get the skills that they need to be independent. That's a gift that you give them, helping them learn how to be independent. So many parents will make a choice to start charging rent or to have, you know, whatever the boundaries are. You know, you can use this room, but you can't have your stuff all over the house. Or, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of different ways. You know, most parents, if the child's older, they don't feel that they can set a curfew and keep track of but some do. Say, I don't want you coming in at 3:00 in the morning. It wakes me up. So, you know, some of those, depending on what boundaries you set, the child may be more encouraged to go out and find their own place.
Yeah. Well, Linda mentioned that she, you know, asked her husband to go shopping with her, and they tried to do this weekly breakfast to leave the kids alone for a while, kind of get used to that. And I would imagine a lot of daily household habits and patterns would change, like how you shop and cook mm-hmm. and clean. Any tips on managing that?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things I hear the most from empty nesters is eating habits and meals. It's really different cooking for one or two people. If you're a single parent, yeah. then you're cooking for one, and it's easy to just not cook or to go out to restaurants a lot, and then the next thing you know, you're putting on some pounds, and you're spending a lot of money on eating out, and you've got to be aware of changing those. Their old habits die hard. You know, I remember my sister telling me when her son went off to college, she put a big, huge jug of milk in the grocery cart, and then she realized her son wasn't going to be home to be drinking it, and she just burst into tears right in the grocery store. So when you're shopping, it affects you. You know, going to wholesale club and supersized foods are not going to necessarily work for you anymore because it's all going to go to waste in your refrigerator. You got to be careful about that. So, you know, maybe embrace that. Find, you know, new recipes for one or two, crockpot cooking for one or two people, you know, challenge yourself to try some new things. And, you know, maybe you're going to start juicing or making smoothies or, you know, look at different ways to embrace this eating for one or two people and make it fun and enticing.
Well, Katie on Facebook asks, what about the divorced or single parents who have focused almost exclusively on the children? What suggestions do you have for them?
You got to try and widen your circle. Mm-hmm. So this is where make a list of activities, things that you've always wanted to do but never had a chance to do. And that may be hard because you have been focusing so much on your child, you're not even aware of the things you might like to do. So try, you know, going back in your past, your childhood, whatever, to think, what's something that interests me that I just never had time to think about? And that's a good way to meet people. Maybe you like to garden, which kind of can be a one-person thing, but you can join a gardening club and meet some other people that way. Maybe you want to work out, but you decide to join a club for a while, a fitness club, so that, again, you'll meet some other people. If cooking is an interest for you, learning how to cook for one, take a class on cooking for one. Go to your local, some of the gourmet grocery stores even have cooking classes right there, and you can meet some interesting people. So, you know, I encourage you to find some new things to do and deepen the things that you're already doing.
Yeah. Well, let's, I guess, go full circle here. And since maybe there's some parents driving right now to a college campus ready to help their child move into the dorm, and they have some anxiety about the empty nest, maybe just some tips on how to calm those anxieties as some parents might be facing an empty nest for the first time.
Sure. You know, allow yourself to grieve. It's a loss of different things. It's a loss of your role because your role changes. But keep in mind that, you know, you do still have a role as a parent. And know that, you know, whatever feelings you go through, they're all normal. You know, you give them their due. You might let yourself feel miserable for a set period of time, whether that's a day, a week, a month, a year, and then decide to move on. And don't get stuck in those sad feelings. You know, let go, move on, embrace the life ahead of you, and be prepared that you're going to have those mixed feelings again. You know, you may be anxious and worried about your children, but you may be really happy to have some time to yourself, and that's okay too. So realize that these emotions and these fluctuations can affect other areas of your life, and be prepared for that. You may feel kind of apathetic at work for a while. If you're working, your other relationships may be affected or suffer because of this. And even your relationships with your kids can change. If you're feeling left out, if you feel like, gosh, well, they don't want to talk to me anymore and they're not texting me, you know, don't let that give them a guilt trip, because that's what they're supposed to be doing right now. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be going out there and learning to be independent and autonomous. So, again, if you get to a point where your feelings of sadness are just overwhelming and really strongly affecting other parts of your life, get some professional help. You know, if you feel vulnerable to depression, substance abuse, marital crisis, all of those things, reach out and get help.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Amy Goyer is AARP's family and caregiving expert. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.